man's best friend.
That great song, White Trash, from White Mansions, A Tale from the American Civil War. And that album's probably still laying around some places. It was put out by A&M Records of Box 782, Beverly Hills, California. You got old Jesse Coulter on there, Waylon Jennings, and John Dillon, and Steve Cash, and a whole bunch of people. I like that music, White Trash. And this is War Radio, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Go to resist.com on the internet, and we've got lots and lots of shows up there. Radio shows you can download on MP3 files, and we're going to be putting up a whole lot more of our radio shows that we started the middle of last summer, that's 2002. So we've got a lot of shows yet to put up there and a lot of other good things. And, of course, now we have the video back on of the five words confrontation with the FBI. That's on resist.com that you can see the whole video and sound. This is how you do it. I have nothing to say. Yes, we're at resist.com, and our email address is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. And we do put out an e-zine every other day at least with all kinds of updated news. So if you have a computer, and you should send us an email and say subscribe, and we'll get it out to you free of charge. Now, any of you people out there in organizations who are strictly racial, pagan, and so forth, that would like to advertise in War, well, we're going to begin taking outside advertising. So it's $200 for a page in the War paper, it's $150 for a half page, and it's $100 for a quarter page. So get with us if you want to advertise in the nation's most racist, revolutionary paper. And it's $30 subscription in the USA still. It's $40 in Canada, first class. That's Soviet Kanukistan. and it's $50 in all other countries offshore. Here's a few items you may be interested in. In fact, I know you will be. Say, how about some video on personal defense? Knife defense, attack, or throw, all you will ever need to know. The knife is the mestizo's favorite weapon, yeah. And that we've got a whole series of videotape on knife protection and knife aggression. $20. Interrogation. See the real footage of how cops break people down. Not actors. This is the real thing. And you need to watch this. $20. It's called Interrogation. And also there's another personal defense fest. Nearly 4 hours of get-down dirty street training on protecting yourself in a car, protecting yourself with your fists on the street, and so forth. That's a very good thing. That's the Personal Defense Fest. And here's one that may be interested to some of you. Tojo, remember him? He ran Japan towards only the last few months of the war, last 30 months of the war, I guess it was. Was he a Jap villain or a scapegoat nationalist? Yeah, that's an interesting thing for you to ponder. Very interesting videotape, $20. So that's it from Warren. We're waiting on Dr. Kaldenberg, the doctor of all truth, he says, to which Pilate says, what is truth? Tommy the old cynic. Tommy, right. Yeah, don't forget Murphy's Law. Whatever can go bad will go bad. Well, I guess old Dr. Kaldenberg is on his way up the hill. He made it through them damn mestizos again. I didn't hear any shooting this time, though, and here he is, Dr. Kaldenberg.
The specs were all at the Cruz Bustamante rally.
At the
Cruz Bustamante.
Yeah, the gravedigger in Spanish. Yeah, and you know what? I told you, I'm back in my boy Cruz Bustamante.
Whoa.
And hell with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And you know why?
Why?
Because Bustamante's a good racist. He's a good separatist. He wants to take Southern California and give it to Mexico.
Whoa.
And I want to take Baja and give it to us.
Yeah.
So
West Side of Baja.
So, yeah, well, because I don't want millions more non-whites under our control.
Yeah.
Because then what would we have to do?
Eat them.
Eat them, yeah. Or get them out. Because we don't want to have them. We don't want to have them in our society.
Make Mexican food.
So what they should have done is pushed them all down through the Central America. But then we got white people, too, in South America. They can't stand it any more of this crap either. So it's sort of a problem. But, Arnold Schwarzenegger, of course, the stuff hasn't come out on him and David Duke yet. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Actually, one of his bodylifting buddies said, talks about his racist past, and I guess he talked to him about apartheid and stuff, and he said that when South Africa fall, that the niggers wouldn't be able to rule their own government and stuff.
Duh. Well, everybody knows that. Even the liberals know that, you know. But anyhow, so they're playing that game. I know Drudge had a big deal on that.
Yeah, over the weekend, on KFI.
But this is going to be quite interesting, because if Cruz Bustamante would become the governor, he'd either have to repudiate totally his mestizo support and his Aztlan support and his Meche support, or he'd have to go full bore and say, yeah, we're going to bring them all in here and we're going to give them everything they want.
Well, he's done the typical Jewish thing, is that he doesn't back down from his Mensha
right.
organization.
Yeah.
But he says it's not racist, it's just a Chicano help group. So he's done the Jewish thing. He's denied everything. Even though, you know, their symbol on their website is an eagle holding a stick of dynamite. And that's a symbol of their organization.
Well, they can't get around. If you read their bylaws and their constitution, it says for brown people.
Yeah. Well,
brown
they're even against white Hispanics. They consider them as European imperialists.
White Hispanics.
But at this organization, you know, like you say, it's not just for Latina people. It's for just brown Latina people. Not even Latina people.
Forget Latina. I hate that word.
Yeah. That's their word.
Well, don't use their word. Never use the other man's word. They're mestizos. Brown mestizos. Race mixing. Mestizo comes from where?
An Indian word?
No, it comes from the goat.
Oh, it's a Spanish word. It's a mule.
There's sheep in down there that have multicolors in their wool, and that means multiracial. That's what mestizo means.
Mm-hmm.
So they are half-breeds, quarter-breeds, you know, and the whole thing. So that's what we have to always remember. I wouldn't call them Latino, and I certainly won't call them Hispanics, because only the white people out of the Iberian Peninsula are Hispanics, right?
Well, what I was making the point is they don't consider white Hispanics as being Latinas.
They're not. Their word. What the hell is Latinas?
That means brown people in their vocabulary.
Latinas?
When they say Latinas or
no,
Latinos.
No, they use it to cover everybody, the white, Hispanic.
No, not this organization.
Well, no, but the general, all the news do.
Oh, yeah, well, we're talking about what
talk
the
radio,
we're talking about what this
right-wing conservative radio.
What this brown racist organization, when they use the word Latina and Latino, they mean brown people. They don't mean black people.
Please not use the term Latina around me? I hate that word.
Well, that's what it says all over their website.
Okay, now I'll tell you, what else is new with this Glenn Spencer, the uplifter of the downtrodden white people that's going down and fight the war at the border?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he got arrested a while back. He's somehow waving his gun around in the neighborhood and shot up some woman's garage door, and must have been drunk or something. Now, here's a guy that's making all kinds of money, contributions. And his whole scam is that he's got all this equipment down there, all this electronic equipment. He's got a drone, you know, airplane, I guess. Now, somebody had to donate that, flying up and down with cameras saying, yes, there's wetbacks there. I mean, you know, like we didn't know that.
Yeah.
And the last question they always ask him on the radio is, well, what does this all come down to? And he says, well, then we just turn them over to the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol just turned them loose. There were just several guys arrested down there because they did hold some of these wetbacks, and they got them now for false imprisonment and everything else. These guys, the conservative right-wing, are always leading people into the mess.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing that's going to solve anything on the border is blood. You know, name it, and you don't have to admit to it. You don't have to agree with me. The only thing that will solve anything on the border is the letting of blood. Yes, sirree. What do you got to say about that?
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, you know the feds are listening, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, like I say, they want Southern California, and we want to keep Southern California. In fact, we want Baja.
Actually, they want more. They want everything west of the Mississippi River.
Well, you know, like Patsy Cline said in that movie, she said, people in hell want ice water, too, but you ain't necessarily going to get it.
I know they will.
Yeah, well, now look, so we want Baja. You can imagine what we could do with Baja. It'd be the Riviera, and that's where all the workers could take their vacations, like Germany had, which we never had, and that is to put the workers, give them a 2 weeks vacation.
Yeah.
They could get on the boats all along the coast, all the way up to Washington, and they could come down to Baja and have these corporation-paid vacations in these big places. Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, like Germany,
well, you could do that under national socialism, but they can't seem to do it under capitalism.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people like when my dad was working, his generation, you know, he used to have 2 months paid vacation.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who, you know, I've got 2 weeks, and that's like the most anybody I know, you know.
Well, you know, the Italians get 40-some days a year vacation.
Yeah.
I think that the French get 30-some. The English get 20-some. You know how many paid vacations the average American gets?
No.
16.
Oh, really?
Now, guess who is the highest output worker in the world?
Americans.
As far as money. Americans.
Yeah.
Right. Average is $60,000 a piece a year. But now, what country, what people have the most or the highest per hour output of labor?
Japanese?
No, it's the Norwegians.
Oh, the Norwegians, I'll be damned.
And guess who's second?
Who?
The frogs.
No kidding.
The French. The highest per capita per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then who's third?
Who?
The Belgiques.
Huh.
Belgium, yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? But that is really something, you know, and these and you hear all these conservative right-wingers crying because the Germans and the Italians and the French and all these European countries, the people get more time off.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? that shows you where they're at.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with people getting a lot of time off for vacations?
Yeah.
What is wrong with that? I want you to tell me.
I don't know, since I worked yesterday with my holiday.
Yeah, well, you don't get any days off, do you?
Well, whenever I feel like it.
Hell, I don't think I've ever, you know.
I haven't had a holiday off in about 12 years, I think.
I haven't had a paid vacation since 1964.
Yeah.
But I do take...
Yeah, but you've been a businessman, so...
A businessman, yeah. That means enslaved labor. Guess what?
What?
Well, they invited me over to the University of Dublin to mm-hmm. participate in this big seminar mm-hmm. and all, and they want to know about racism and all this kind of stuff. And so we said, okay. So my manager talked to them, and then they come back and said, well, we can't pay your way.
Uh-huh.
You know, so just to bluff their ass, we said, okay, we'll pay our own way. And but we need written authority to come there, and that we're definitely going to be on the program. So we got an email back today. It said some big committee said, no, you can't speak.
Yeah, they just want the Marxists to speak.
Yeah,
about race.
So all the people who are going to talk bad about racism, see, I'd be the only guy, I guess. There may be somebody over there who'll speak for racism mm-hmm. or racial separation. But all the people they're going to have, you know, that's why they can't ever, that's democracy.
Oh, yeah.
You leave the people out that are the most important people mm-hmm. to talk. Because if they feel racism is horrible, well, they should hear me and know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. They can't fight something they have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
You know, their whole idea of racism is just some Marxist, you know, bullshit. You know,
right,
it has absolutely
right.
nothing.
Right.
But they still, you read the left, they still call us fascists and stuff. They think
yeah.
like Mussolini or something.
Yeah, they do, and they don't.
Well, they think that Ronald Reagan is like one of us. They always call him a fascist.
Oh,
like
we're, yeah,
partners.
The extreme right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The extreme right. What the hell is
yeah.
that? Is that... Dr. Fields down
yeah.
there? Is he?
Well, that's whenever you talk.
What the hell? People don't define their terms. I'm yeah. not. I don't even know what an extreme right winger is.
It's somebody who extremely loves the system.
No, mm-hmm. but that's not what they portray him
yeah.
as. Because even the conservatives who support the system
mm-hmm.
talk badly about the extreme right.
Yeah.
You know. But I did hear on the radio last night, Ann Coulter. And another conservative radio
mm-hmm.
show guy that was cleaning up the image of Joe McCarthy,
yeah.
that he was correct,
yeah.
and all the people he spotted as being communists were communists.
Yeah, yeah, she wrote that book about the treason.
Yeah, called Treason,
like
yeah.
yeah.
So even though I can't stand that broad, she talks too much.
Yeah.
I tried to debate her on a radio show, and she just talked so much, couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Yeah. That's why I hate to talk to like the reporters and stuff, because they're so fucking stupid that they ask the dumbest fucking questions, because they have
yeah.
no... You know, they read the Southern Poverty Law Center literature, they read the ADL literature, and they have no idea what we're into, so they ask some of the stupidest fucking questions in the world. You know,
yeah.
You know, it's like a retard asking, you know, a rocket scientist about the space program or something, you know?
Right.
You know, at least you ought to do some research before you ask something.
It's like that joke I told you about the professor and the little kid riding the airplane
mm-hmm.
across the country, and the professor says to the little kid, he says, we ought to talk about something since we're going to be together so long.
Mm-hmm.
Little kid says, what do you want to talk about? And he said, well, how, professor says, how about nuclear power? And little kid says, okay, but I want to ask you one question. He said, okay. He says, professor, how come sheep shit little round pieces of shit, and a cow shits a great big pie? And the professor says, I don't know. He says, and the little kid says, well, if you want me to discuss nuclear power and you don't know shit, why would I want to talk to you? Okay, doctor, talk about something.
Dead people in the news. Idi Amin died.
Oh, I felt bad about that.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Why, he killed more niggers than anybody I ever knew.
Well, not only that, he used to eat his enemies.
Well, he was an environmentalist.
Yeah, they call that long pork.
Long pig, yeah.
Yeah, long pig, yeah.
Well, he ate his mother-in-law.
Oh, did he?
Well, I know a lot of guys that like to eat their mother-in-law.
I heard niggers are really good eating, but they're really hard to clean.
Oh, I don't know, but I know I heard the niggers like to eat
white meat,
yeah.
Like white meat.
Tastes like pork, they say.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
taste like pork.
Long pork.
Yeah, okay. Well, what else? Well, anyhow, and he really gave the Jews a run for
oh, yeah,
money.
Yeah. When they had that thing with the airport, the shootout at the airport and stuff.
On Antibi.
Yeah, yeah.
When the glorious forces of Israel come
yeah.
in. And, come. Yeah, well, they also built a statue to Adolf Hitler.
Oh, he did?
A lot of people don't know that. Idi Amin built a statue in his capital city there at the government building to Adolf Hitler.
I know.
The only guy in the whole world since World War II has built a statue of Adolf Hitler.
Well, I know that he said that Hitler and Napoleon were his two role models.
I wonder if we could get a hold of that statue.
Yeah.
I hope they haven't destroyed it. That'd be pretty neat.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we could get the governor to put it outside the governor's mansion up here. Anyhow, I think the Aztlan people would sooner put it up than these damn white people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You relate to
who
them.
Else bit
oh,
the dust?
Charles Bronson.
My old friend,
you know
Charles Bronson.
Him.
Now, they said he come from a coal mining family from Pennsylvania, but I think he comes from farther than that. He comes originally from Eastern Europe, and the alleged word I got, now I have never been able, I never tried to look into it, that his mother was a Jew.
Yeah, well, I think his name's like Bronstein or something.
Well, it could have been. Could have been. And of course, a lot of people out there, young guys, don't know, and I've said it before, but I got almost came to blows with old Bronson in Culver City in 1961. I just came to California, and I took the first job I could get because I wasn't one of those guys that lay on his ass, right?
Yeah.
And I took it in a car radio repair shop, Chip's Auto Radio, at down in Culver City, right across the street from Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Mm-hmm.
So these TV stars, Frank Sinatra, all of them used to come in there and have us look at their cars. And most of them were nice guys. Well, anyhow, here comes Bronson, and over some little deal, he started reaming me a new asshole. And I reached across the counter for him, and in fact, I came around the counter, and we were ready to go to blows, and the boss, who was always sitting in a little office right off the counter, he heard it, came running out and separated us. And so Bronson left. He said, "Tom, don't beat up on the Hollywood people. We do a lot of business with those people." But anyhow, Bronson and I was eyeball to eyeball. But I did like his movies, Death Wish.
Yeah, the first one was good.
Yeah, I liked that. And, of course, he was married to Jill Ireland for a long, long time. And so he seems like he stood by his women pretty good. But anyhow, Charles Bronson is gone to meet his Yahshua.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I wonder what he's going to say to him.
I don't know. He didn't have a beard. Can he get into heaven without a beard?
I don't know. He had a mustache. Does that count?
Yeah, almost a beard.
Okay. Yeah, he did some other movies.
He did some westerns.
Yeah, man. Well, he played an Indian in some of the old movies. Yeah, that's funny. Half Jew or something, Eastern European playing an Indian. No wonder the Indians get pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Charles was Bronson was not a big guy. He was actually, I think, a little about an inch shorter than I am, and I'm only 5'7".
Yeah, a lot of those East European Jews are really tiny. The Three Stooges were really tiny people.
Well, yeah, and but a whole lot of Hollywood people in general are little people.
Yeah,
you know?
Tom Cruise is really tiny, and so is Sylvester Stallone. He's a small
guy. He's a shorty, too. So I don't know what it is about. What's this stuff about short people? I mean, you know, it looks, and Napoleon, all these people, you know, very few big leaders are tall.
Yeah.
Charles de Gaulle, and let's see, Abe Lincoln, and a few of them were tall. Mm-hmm. But hey, I heard the other day that our feet, the general population in 1900, the size of the foot size average was number 4.
Number 4?
Now it's up to 9.
Well, I hate to say what my
boys are. And they say in another few decades it's going to be even bigger. We're getting big. You know, we're getting so big.
I got 12 Triple E. I got boats here.
Well, I'm not going to say anything more about that, but I want to say that pretty soon people are going to have feet like snowshoes.
Yeah, you know what they say, big feet.
Yeah. Well, maybe there is a Bigfoot out there, huh? Imagine that, number 4, the average... average person was number 4.
Well, you know, I went to the Los Angeles Museum, and they had a whole bunch of suits of armor from all over Europe, and they were really tiny.
Yeah, I've seen those,
I mean, they're really, you know, they're like 5 foot, 5 foot two. You wouldn't think of knights in shining armor being short people.
Yeah, and can you imagine those little 5-footers up on those big Belgian
horses? Oh, yeah,
horses? You know, well, if they put the big guys today... Well, even some of the Vikings, they were big
guys.
Yeah,
they were tall guys.
If they tried to put armor on them and put them on a horse, it'd break the horse's back.
Yeah.
Did you say they had to have block and tackle and winches to get them up there?
Yeah, they had winches.
Well, I thought they used winches for something. I thought they screwed the winches.
Well, yeah, they did.
It was a different kind of winch.
Yeah, there was a winch with, like, in a lot of jousting things, to get the knights on the horses. They used to use winches to lift them up.
Oh, so we got to get our winches straight.
It may have been the beginning. Maybe it was the other kind of winches that lifted them up, but in the...
I wonder what the... Yeah, if they named the women after the mechanical winches. Probably what was the connection there?
Probably the women lift up the men.
Oh,
give me a winch.
Oh, I see. The women caused the men to get it up. That's how they got called winches.
That's probably so.
Took a winch to get some of them
up. Well, I'm studying Old English. You know, the Old English word for woman was wife. But you know what the word woman meant in Old English?
No.
It meant sin.
Oh,
so
well, yeah.
So when the Christians, I guess when the Christians got it, that they started using a woman instead of wife, because then a wife became someone you married, and a woman became both sin and, you know, because she's the creator of original sin. She took the apple and ate it and stuff. So they use the word sin for women.
Oh,
it was kind of bizarre.
Oh, boy, man. And she grabbed that apple, didn't
she? Oh, yeah. Ate that fucker up. Tree of knowledge.
Women are very evil. We have to watch out for them.
Named after sin.
Yes. It's hard to believe that women go for Judaism and Christianity.
I mean, it's so hostile to women and
stuff. Yeah. It's amazing.
I think a lot of them are bimbos and just don't sit down and think.
Yeah. You know? They get some preacher to explain.
You know, anybody who read the book of Genesis, and you don't realize how hostile the women that are. Something's got to be wrong with you. You either don't know how to read or you don't know how to think or something.
Well, those Orthodox Jews still operate that way.
Look at it. The Jews have the Talmud has a prayer that they thank God that they weren't born a woman.
Well, I don't know. If I was a religious man, I might pray that too.
but their thing is that it's easier for a man to get into heaven.
Can you imagine
women.
A guy crawling all over you?
What the hell?
Well, you said about praying that you don't want to be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine physically being a woman
and a man
crawling all over you?
Well, I always said, like, I'm like a...
Get off my ass!
I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body.
Oh, man!
I got in touch with my feminine side and it was a dyke.
Oh, shit. Let me out of here.
Speaking of
dykes... Get your hand off my leg.
Speaking of dykes, did you see that MTV thing with the Madonna and Britney Spears kissing?
No, I didn't. The
Britney Spears thing wasn't bad, but with Madonna, you never know where that tongue was at, you know?
Yeah.
She had that book, Sex, where she's having, she had a picture of her with a dog and stuff. And you have no idea what nigger her tongue's done or anything.
God.
Well, that was kind of gross. You know, the Britney Spears part wasn't bad. The Madonna part was kind of gross.
I don't know about that. You know, 88 Enterprises back in Ohio.
Yeah.
Joe, I don't know. Remember what his last name was. He just died, somebody told me.
Yeah.
He was only 48 years old.
Yeah, I've had contact with him before.
I thought he was a younger guy, but still, 48 years is awfully young to be kicking a bucket. They didn't give me any details or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I did bring out, though, on my update was, you know, you got to make a will and make sure that all your papers and all your books and things don't get thrown into trash. Because most of these no good offspring of these people, they inherit this stuff and they just throw it in the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So tremendous amounts of irreplaceable books and things have gone into the garbage. And even new book stock and things like that. So
there's several offers. They died and they had all their... stocks in their, you know, their books in their garage and their sons or whatever, just in the dumpster.
Hey, how about that guy that was with the National Alliance up there in Cleveland that came to all the meetings and drank all their coffee and gave them $20 every once in a while?
Oh,
and he died. He was worth over $1 million.
That is like $9 million.
And then he gave it all to his no good anti-racist kids.
Yeah. They didn't give them a shit.
Yeah, so make sure out there, if you're a real loyal racist, in fact, no matter how young you are, because you never know, you make out a will, make out two or three of them, and put that will not only in a strong box in your house someplace, but don't trust other people to get a hold of it, because a lot of times they'll destroy the will, and then and if they're in blood kin, they can grab the money.
But
put one in a bank in a lockbox. If not that, get one in the files of an attorney that you trust.
We had a couple that used to come to war meetings a lot, and they were some like $17 million. And everybody used to kiss their butt because they wanted money from them.
Yeah.
And I asked Kathy if, you know, how much money these guys actually ever donated to me. And she said she didn't have a record of them ever giving a dime and stuff. Well, eventually they kicked the bucket and the movement never saw a penny of their 17.
No, but I will say two or three people have said that they were willing all of this, mm-hmm. not big money, you know, but maybe a little old house. You know, it's always the little people that want to give you things.
Oh, it's working class people.
Yeah, there was a little old lady up in Hesperia that she said she was going to will us her house, things like that. Mm-hmm. But what happens, they don't leave a will with an attorney. They don't put it away, and they don't draw it up right. And an attorney for the no good kids or what else will come in and grab it and maybe wipe it out and write a new will, the whole bit. Yeah, I mean, people are screwed out of millions, you know, like that. So if you you should do that, no matter how old you are, make yourself out a will. And for goodness sakes, all your racial stuff, all those books that you've collected over the years, make sure that they don't fall into the hands of people who don't care about them. Make sure that you put in there to notify somebody in the struggle that can arrange to get those books and those videotapes and other things, right?
Yeah.
Well, sorry to hear Joe go. I think he filled a need there. He put out a lot of books and things. And also, he did contribute to prisoners and POWs and things like that. So, sad to hear Joe go.
Hollywood Kabbalah. Have you ever heard that phrase lately?
Oh, yeah.
That's the hit thing for the Hollywood. And most of them are going. You know, what was it? Us Magazine, the recent issue, they had one. They said that Madonna's in it. Who else? Tori Spelling, well, she's a Yid.
Yeah.
Courtney Love, well, she's weird.
Yeah.
Britney Spears, Brittany Murphy, Demi Moore, and the whole Moore family. You know, Bruce Willis is getting into it.
Yeah, well.
And Gwyneth Paltrow, she's about as Aryan as you can get. She's getting in. You know, it's an offshoot of Judaism. And
well,
such
if they're not into that, they're into Scientology.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a whole bunch of them into that, too. But no, I've been hearing about this for several years. Well, you know, the in the Masonic Bible by, what's his name? The guy that wrote the Masonic
Bible? Pike.
Yeah, Pike says, all the secrets and signs of Masonry come from the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
How the Jews crap got into the
because
if you edited out a lot of the Masonic Bible, you'd have a great Aryan book because it's about the sun worship and all that kind of stuff. But there you go, the Kabbalah, which is nothing, another one of these god darn deals where and they'll use numbers to try to prove something in the Old Testament. And you know, people will believe bullshit before they'll believe any truth. You know
that's
that?
True.
They'll believe anything.
Goddamn people.
And the weirder and the wilder and the screwier, I hear them on the radio late at night, like that old Art Bell show, but it's not Art Bell.
Yeah, that other guy.
They come up with a goddamn
nonsense.
Oh,
yeah, the wackiest fucking shit on there.
And they get thousands of people.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, that's it. I'm going to devote my whole life to that crap.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man.
Well, you know, there was a nut on that show the other day. He was saying that with his binoculars that he could see a forest from Mars. And you know, scientists, you know, determined there's no forest up there for a long time ago.
Well, I heard one guy though with a big 10-inch telescope said they saw green spots on Mars.
Yeah.
Two or three green areas.
Might just be reflect. You know, this far away, it'd just be.
Wait a minute! That's the old Teutonic forest that we transplanted down here when we came here 60,000 years ago, and we replaced Neanderthal with us Cro-Magnon guys.
So we jumped off of. Mars like a taxi you jumped off of?
Well, we had one of those big slingshots. My ancestors, they put their ass
like
back.
Ellie Mae, you know, they bras
well,
out?
Well, they just pulled that big rubber band and put them around their ass, and they pulled them clear around the other side of Mars, and they let go, and shit, there we were.
Holy shit.
Yeah, right in the middle of Neanderthal, so we had to fight our ass off.
I never knew that.
I didn't either, really. But
Tom, speaking of religion, I've got a theological question.
Okay,
you used to be a Catholic, right?
Yeah, Roman Catholic.
Roman Catholic. You know, when the Catholics eat the cracker, they're eating the body of Christ, the body of God, right?
That's unleavened bread, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
so.
So
they're eating the body of Christ.
Body
so
of
if
Christ.
A little kid goes that sneaks in there and eats a whole box of crackers and he gets a bellyache and he has to go to the bathroom and takes a crack, is he shitting God? The Catholics shit God?
Well, I guess symbolically he would be.
So Catholics shit the body of God out. That's cool.
Well, did you ever drink mead?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that got to do with Odin?
No, it's not the body of Odin.
Do you piss out Odin?
It's not the body of Odin. It's not the body. It's not
what
the body.
Do you mead? No? I thought it was the nectar of the gods and the.
Well, it's a drink of the gods, not their body.
Oh, okay. That's a cheap shot at the Catholics.
Well,
it does
terrible.
Come from the old cannibalism, because
a lot of that shit
comes from Africa.
I know. It's kind
you
of
know,
a...
You read the books I've got, it all goes back into the stupid-ass African cults, you know? And so, yeah.
Eating the God King and stuff.
Well, symbolically, you'd have to say yes.
Yeah.
But though, no, the church would say that once it gets past your stomach, it don't have the quality.
So your large intestines de-godify it?
That's in the lower regions. That's the
undeify.
That's the devil area.
Oh, that's the your bowels? Oh, yeah, like the bowels of hell.
Right.
So God goes to the bowels of hell and doesn't become God anymore, becomes the devil?
No, he just becomes shit.
Oh, it's like the masses.
Yeah, right. You know why? We got the only radio show around that is irreverent to the Christian religion.
I'm very reverent to the... Oh, irreverent. Oh, okay.
Irreverent. Yeah. And we got one of our friendly boys here, puts a show on every week, but it gets more Christian every week.
Huh.
I'm not going to mention his name, because I don't want to get in a big fight with him, because you know how these people are. The minute you say one thing, they want to go on for years in a big fight.
Yeah.
Because he's got every right of free speech to do what he wants to do, but he talks a lot about race, but they're, God, they're getting into religion and preaching and all kinds of crap. And then all those guys, Christian Identity guys that were on the Turner Network, of course, you know the Turner Network's down now, it's not around, I don't know what happened there. But hell, we're the only ones who are on the radio that are pagan, I guess, and atheists and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with these people? We give them all the evidence. I just got this stuff in from Haaretz, which is a big newspaper in Israel. Now, here's the Jews themselves exposing. Now, there's about 20 pages of this, but there's a lot more of it, that exposes all that horse shit of the Old Testament about all the things they did and how they flee Egypt and all. It's all bullshit. And everywhere they go to dig for all this stuff is supposed to happen ain't there.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how long is it going to take these white numb nuts to figure out that this is all a scam? I don't understand how they can be so smart on other things and be so stupid about religion.
I think it has to do with genetic memory, because I was reading a book, The History of the Jews. It was by, I think it was Desmond or something like that.
Desmond,
maybe. Yeah, maybe that was his name. Well, anyway, he said that about 5 million Jews from the time of Constantine to the time of Charlemagne converted to Christianity, and they passed themselves off of white people. So then if 5 million of them came in, let's say they had, you know, 3 kids apiece, you know, eventually that's hundreds of millions of people got Jew blood in them. So there's a lot of Aryan, supposedly Aryan people that have Jewish blood in them. So half of them are part of them are Aryan and part of them are Kite. So naturally their genetic memory are going to be attracted to the Middle East. That's why so many people, even though you tell them the truth that the Jews are bad and stuff, they're still attracted to the Middle East because they're not racially pure Aryans.
Well,
they've got Jew blood.
Yeah, but that's based still upon the blood thing. Now, I have, you know, unless the blood affects the brain, and maybe it does, I think that the biggest virus of the whole thing is what it does to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
Not whether it makes your nose long or your toes short.
Oh, yeah, because there's instinct. It's just like the spider, you know, they don't learn to weave webs. They don't go to school to weave webs. It's all part of their genetic makeup.
Well, I think it's all about control that people do want to... They want somebody to tell them what to do, and the priests and the rabbis and all these simply tell them what to do, and they deny it. They say they want to be free and independent, but I think 99% of the people on the whole earth want somebody to tell them what to do, want somebody to tell them what to worship, what to think, and a whole bit. So anybody comes in with a wagon with the story, you know, about Jesus or whatever, if it sounds plausible, they buy into it.
Well, it's natural for the masses to want to be slaves because that's what they're basically born as slaves.
Yeah.
They should be slaves.
It actually proves it. I don't think it's necessarily...
But I think a lot of the problem with white European people is a lot of white European people aren't white Europeans, really. So that's why they're attracted to the Middle East.
They're either white or they're not white.
I think there's little bits and parts of them in their brain keep saying, oh, let's turn to the Bible. Let's go to Israel.
In the brain. And that goes back to my
it's
deal.
Like, well, it's like
not the liver or the spleen.
Yeah.
It's the brain.
Yeah. It's like the spider always wants to weave a web and birds fly south and they don't go to school to learn it. It's all in their genetic makeup.
Well, they assimilated quite well in Europe, these so many of these Jews.
Mm-hmm.
They call them new Christians.
Yeah.
And then they even had them, the ones who weren't at them, wear a Star of David around so they could tell them apart.
Yeah.
Most of them, they couldn't tell from the regular population of Europe.
Yeah, then they became British Israelites.
People should read that stuff because if they don't want to have anything to people of Jewish background, well, Christ, like you say, millions of these damn Jews went into the Christian churches and they became popes and everything else.
Well, the
so how can a Christian racist say to me, oh, well, we're pure and everything else? Because how does he know I mean, if you're looking at the bloodline, you go back a ways, and you probably got some Jew in your tree.
And also, like Murray Hope, somebody asked me about St. Patrick. Like Murray Hope said in there, that St. Patrick's mom was a Welsh whore, and that his dad was a Romanized Jewish soldier. You know, he was a Christian Jewish soldier because they were Christian at the time of St. Patrick. But they lived in Ireland and went to Wales and stuff. And basically, you know, that's where that came from.
That's an old repeat of the story about Jesus that was put out, that he was a son of a Roman soldier and like that.
Well, it's probably
mother,
true.
His mother was a whore.
It's
so
probably true.
I think, how can you call somebody the son of a Roman soldier when they didn't even exist?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
There was no Jesus. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, you know, and it says right in some of the writings, like, you know, the most important part of the Bible, which most Christians skip over, if you deny, if you can't prove that Jesus rose from the dead, your faith is in vain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to argue any other point in the whole Bible. It says right there that if you don't believe, and if he didn't rise from the dead, then your faith is in vain. Well, no one ever rose from the dead.
And
if that don't work, Lazarus, who they said had been in the grave for a week or two, was rotting and worms crawling in at him, he rose from the dead too.
Yeah.
Now anybody that's gonna believe that bullshit will believe anything.
Well,
I wanna take all these Christian ministers, I wanna take all these big priests, I wanna take all the Billy Grahams, line them up in a trench and say, now look, you're going to come back to life, or Jesus is going to bring you back to life. I'm going to blow your brains out and see what happens.
Yeah.
They'll be running so goddamn fast down through the desert there, you can't catch them.
Yeah.
Don't you see what I mean?
I do.
This bullshit.
Well, even Jesus.
Is there anything in Odinism where anybody rose from the grave?
I did.
Oh, geez.
Well, my
put you in a hole, you'd never get out.
You'd be too fucking comfortable in there, baby. You know, my favorite quote out of the Bible is Pontius Pilate. When Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the Son of God?" And what did Jesus say? He says, "All I want is the truth." He doesn't say, "Yes, I'm the Son of God."
Right.
He basically avoids the question. And then Pontius Pilate goes, "What is true?"
Look, he played that so-called Jesus played that typical Jewish style of argument and debate all through the New Testament.
Well, even the New
Testament. He's using the same damn methods that Jews use when they get on television.
Well, it's funny to be a religion when you got your Savior won't even come out and claim he's this. You know, right when he's in the court of law, he won't say it in the court of law because they'll know they prove he's nuts.
And the Christians say how he outfoxed them all by all these little devious things he said to get around saying.
Yeah.
You know,
saying that
the Arians, like Pilate, they would ask him a direct question and he'd give them a bunch of bullshit or a parable, speaking in parables all the time. Doesn't that sound like the nightly news? That sounds like every politician I've ever heard you say, "Well, sir, do you believe that we should fight communism?" And then they come back and say, "Well, it depends on the moon cycle and tricycle, and if I'm elected, you know, they give you a whole bunch of bullshit."
He's a lot like Bill Clinton, you know. It says, "Oh, what do you mean by sex? Or what do you mean by the word if? It all depends on what you mean by the word if."
I think Clinton was Jesus.
Yeah, he must have been Jesus.
Yeah,
he's sure good at getting around to making a direct statement.
You know, the Eastern religions, even no matter how screwed they up, especially Shintoism, looks more attractive all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's just
ugly. Even Buddhism looks more attractive to me all the time if you're going to have a religion.
Yeah.
Because, and I haven't studied those either, but at least they don't try to have this God on earth thing, you know, except the Shintoists. They were smart. They made their emperor God.
Yeah.
Well, that's a better way of doing it, I think, you know. I mean, you know.
Then you can really chop up and eat your God.
Maybe the Germans should have made Hitler God and worship him like a God.
A lot of people did.
And bowed down to him.
A lot of people still do.
Yeah. I know a couple.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. What about this gas deal down on the border down there by Arizona? Wasn't that
so? Somebody said it was $3.50 a gallon.
Well, hell, all they did was have one pipe get destroyed, or not destroyed, but damaged.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine? There's only two big pipes of gas going into Arizona.
Yeah.
If they'd hit both pipes, can you imagine what would have happened?
People would be walking in the building.
Well, I always said that. See, this so-called advanced society we live in can be brought to its knees so easy. Unbelievable. There's no way that any amount of security could, nobody could defend that kind of stuff. I mean, even if it was suicidal, a guy could take a Jeep and run at 80 miles an hour right into a pipeline or something. I mean, and could you imagine if gas in, say, Phoenix went to $10 a gallon, or they couldn't get it at all?
Can you imagine
why these people would go absolutely nuts?
Imagine something happened to the Alaskan pipeline.
Oh, man.
I mean, God, it'd be about like eight bucks a gallon and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then to secure these damn pipes, they're thousands of miles. I've got a map of that Alaska pipeline. God, it's a long, long
thing. Well, they were saying that if the princes in Saudi Arabia fell and a Muslim government took over, that immediately the gas would go to $7 a gallon.
Well, they've
already mathematically figured out how much the price would be.
Well, they've already got the problem because little civil wars are beginning in all those countries, and they're trying to keep it quiet.
Yeah.
They don't know where to shit or go blind, these guys, these leaders. You know, they're Muslim, but they're trying to hang on to the money and still pretend they're an ally of the United States, but they hate our guts anyhow.
Well,
something's going to happen.
They're having problems in Congress right now because a lot of the Saudi princes have been paying, like, Al-Qaeda, you know, bin Laden and stuff off so he would get the hell out of their country and go someplace else and start trouble. And so Congress knows that, you know, a lot of the money from 9/11 came from the Saudi Arabia.
Sure they do.
And they don't want to make a whole lot of waves because if they do and the Saudi princes fall, then a radical Muslim will take over and they'll be in deep shit, you know?
Well, look what happened the other day in Iraq. They bombed that damn mosque.
Yeah.
Killed the most important
moderate
Shiite,
Muslim,
which
yeah.
is smart as hell.
Yeah.
You know, radicals, you got to kill the moderates, you know?
Yeah.
And, God, look at them. Hundreds of thousands of people marching in this
street. Oh, yeah.
Now, what are they going to do? And then if somebody blames the Sunnis, now the Sunnis, you know, they don't like the Shiites.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And so, you know, if Saddam Hussein is still around, they could just have a few people fostering this thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they could have a big super religious civil war going on. The Shiites would probably kill all the Sunnis because they outnumber them so much. And then you got the Kurds there. What, you don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing is just like gasoline laying on the ground waiting for somebody to flip them.
I noticed that guy's brother, as soon as his brother got killed, he dropped his moderate thing, and now he demands the United States out of Iraq.
See,
it's amazing what one bombing can do.
Well, this is an old trick.
I mean,
whenever you've got a situation like that, you go in and kill off the moderate, and the guy who wanted to make deals with the United States, and then all hell breaks loose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's very easy to do that kind of stuff. Yeah, we know how to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll save our powder for later. Yeah. Now, some people have been talking about this. I guess National Alliance has quoted something I said about Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I studied Stalin quite a bit, a lot more than most right-wingers. And, you know, things aren't always as they seem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a book called Stalin Against the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in Russian but translated into English, and I read it a long time ago. But Stalin was smarter at handling the Jews than Hitler was.
Mm-hmm.
Stalin used the Jews, and he would say, oh, you're great people. And then if he suspected one, what he would do is he'd give one a big medal as a hero of the Soviet Union, and then he'd bump off 100 or 1,000 of them over here. See?
Yeah.
That was his method, which was smart as hell, really. But the right wing don't want to give Stalin any credit at all. But, of course, you got to remember, there wouldn't have been any real communist party without Stalin robbing trains.
Oh, yeah. It was Bob Matthews.
And that's how he controlled the party, too, because he controlled the money.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's an interesting thing, and people should read more about that, about Stalin and the Jews.
Oh, speaking of Stalin, I saw on DVD that they have the complete Ivan the Terrible, Part 1 and Part 2, unedited. And what was that other movie that they made about, what was it called?
Robert Duvall.
Oh, no, there was another Russian movie that Stalin made that was really good. It was kind of like the pagan. Yeah, exactly. That's on there, too.
Ivan Nesky.
Yeah, both of those movies are on there.
I think I've got that in my library.
The Ivan the Terrible is hard to find.
Well, you know, Stalin was sort of, the Communist Party was sort of, you know, they had to stoke up nationalism real quick.
Yeah.
And you know, they hadn't done that before. So the minute World War II started, they had to come out with these movies to get people all the motherland and save the motherland before we're going to take over the earth and stuff like that.
Yeah, that book, The Black 100, said that Stalin was even dipping into like Slavic paganism, you know, because it had a nationalist bent to it. So he was promoting that for a while.
Of course, every country has to use that, you know, when things go to hell, when they get attacked.
Yeah.
Actually, during World War II, he was operating as a National Socialist.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, you know, it's maybe a little variation of National Socialism, but in some ways he was more practical. If he had an enemy, just put him against the wall and shot him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wouldn't mind having that kind of power. What about you?
Well, that's the only true power you have. You don't have the power to dish out rewards and punishment. You have no power at all.
Hey, I've said that before. You stole that off me.
God damn, well, you're always stealing shit from me, so I got to steal from you, my
friend. That's the doctor.
I saw that movie, The Hunted.
Yeah.
That was really good. First, I didn't like the first part. It was kind of anti-Slavic, because they always show the Serbs whacking the Albanians, but they never show what the Albanians did to the Serbs.
What are
you
talking about?
The first part of the movie.
Hunting?
Hunted.
Hunted, yeah.
That movie you gave me.
Well, there was only a few seconds or something about that.
No, yeah, but it was the first part of the movie. It was actually about 5 minutes, first 5 minutes of the movie.
Okay, all right.
But they always show the Serbs whacking the Muslims, but they never show what the Muslims did to the Serbs.
Yeah, right.
God damn it.
Yeah,
of the bitch,
okay.
Hollywood.
Hey, you know that fellow, I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a Puerto Rican, they told me.
Oh, yeah, oh, Del Toro?
Del Toro, he's a Puerto Rican.
Which is been a...
Don't even try it, man. I'll tell you. But that was a good movie, because I just keep rerunning it because of the way they're whacking those FBI
guys. Oh, yeah, that's pretty funny, yeah.
Yeah, you know, just like in that other movie where they're going to go out after him.
Oh, First Blood?
Yeah, FBI agents, and Tommy Lee says, you're going to get a lot of these people killed. Yeah. Oh, no, we're the FBI.
It was pretty cool when they were in that building and he was just whacking them and stuff. I thought it was cool when he had that one dead FBI hanging,
yeah.
And that nigger cop came to him and kicked the dead guy, and the live guy came and slit the nigger's throat. That was pretty cool.
I thought that was cool.
I liked that.
Yeah, I did
too. That was
too.
Cool.
What else about that movie? Anything else?
Well, it was kind of, it did have kind of like an Apocalypse Now, you know, he was in the shadows and stuff, talking and mumbling. It was kind of neat that he was all upset because people were eating chickens. You know, slaughtered chickens by the million. That,
yeah.
That was his motive.
He became an extreme environmentalist.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That's why he killed those hunters.
Yeah, because they were hunting and stuff. And he was saying, how would you like it if the dominant species one day lost all respect for you? You know, we slaughter chickens by the millions. We don't even think anything of it.
Right.
Regular Holocaust.
We're very mean people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kobe Bryant. What's happening to Kobe?
I heard that his people met with that girl. You know that girl is saying that she got raped by him. Some guy got arrested for threatening to kill her. Some fucking Lakers fan. A Lakers fan broke into her house and locked her dog up and stuff like that.
Oh, shit.
And, anyway, his people went over there and offered her $5 million not to testify. Michael Jackson did the same thing. Remember, he paid that kid $20 million
Kobe Bryant's a cheapskate.
But, you know, can you imagine if we offered Dave Mazzella or somebody like that $100 not to testify? That's a felony. We'd be doing 30 years in prison. But, you know, these fuckers do it.
I did, but he wanted $150.
That's kind of a bitch.
I let him off. Well, that brings me around, too, to the book, 100 Little Hitlers.
Oh, yeah.
It's out now, and it's a pretty good book.
Yeah, it's a pretty good book with some lying little Covington shit in there.
There was a little bit of crap in there, but in general, it was good. Yeah, but the only one thing, it's interesting how... Mm-hmm. They marginalize us because they always start from the assumption that our ideology is wrong.
Evil, yeah.
Yeah. But they shouldn't have done what they did to us, or they did it by bad ways, they did it by illegal ways.
There's a right way to get these bastards.
Yeah. But she never talks about the ideology other than it's wrong.
Yeah.
So every book that's ever written about us starts out from the position, we are wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so that's a funny... Well, I guess that's the way you do it when you live in a damn police state.
I tell you, like, about every history book ever written about the Roman empires, they were all the ones that survived have all been written by senators. And the senators always hated the emperors because they wanted the Senate to have the power, not the emperor. So that's why you have Caligula and all these guys and Tiberius doing all this weird shit in Nero, because it's written by people that absolutely hate their guts. And then people will read these histories and they say, oh, these emperors, these Roman emperors are all crazy and stuff. And what it is these historians were just like the National Enquirer, you know. It was just like this vile attack against something they hated. They hated the emperor.
Well, they do that, too, to a degree with the presidents, where the congressmen, they're all sitting there. Look at all these senators and state senators and like that and representatives in Sacramento, you know, and they're all saying, oh, it was all Gray Davis.
Yeah.
Gray, it's just Gray Davis. Yeah. Bullshit. They're just, Gray Davis was a rat, but they're using him as a lightning rod, and they're going to dump him and say it was all his idea. They all sit there every day, those people. They all sit in those committees. You have the Republican, the Democrats. They know what's going on up there. Did you hear them making a big splash about what he was doing? No. But when things go wrong, we got to get this guy. And even it's funny, the Democrats are going to dump him.
Oh, yeah.
And put in this Bustamante. Yeah. That's hilarious.
Well, what's the weird situation is that the unions are backing Gray Davis, but the Democratic Party basically has dumped Davis. Is going for Bustamante.
Yeah.
So you're going to have the union support one people and the Democratic Party support the other.
Yeah, that's interesting. And George Bush is so pissed off at California, he's not going to help the Republicans.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to do very little because I forget what. There's a real reason. Last election something happened and he's all pissed off at California. Yeah. So he don't care what bad happens to California.
Oh, you know, talking about 100 Hitlers. As you know, I wrote a review for it at Amazon.com.
Yes.
I talked about how the book was about Morris Deese's financial dealings and stuff like that, and I was critical. I've been writing reviews for a long time, never had any problem. I wrote that review, and not only didn't they post my review, is they wouldn't let me on Amazon.com. They blocked me from even buying books and stuff like that. And that's been like a couple weeks ago, and they still haven't posted it up. I kind of wonder if there's something going on there.
I looked last night, and it wasn't up there either. And also, I had advertised Might Is Right under for a good cheap price. You know, they got real high prices on it in there for sell your own book.
Yeah.
And it's not been posted yet either. I think they got our names up there, you know, that are on the list. And, of course, I think that eBay is connected somehow to Time Life, but I'm not sure.
Well,
and Deez owns a whole shit pot full of Time Life stock.
Yeah. What's Amazon.com is where I was writing it.
What did I say?
You said eBay.
Oh, I meant Amazon. Yeah. Well, maybe I'm mistaken.
Well, he owns a lot. The Southern Power Reliance Center owns, you know, $500 million worth of stocks and stuff. So
but anyhow, all they have to do is that the ADL calls them up.
Oh, yeah.
And says, well, we don't want you to put these guys on. These guys are horrible guys, blah, 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 blah. And then you're done.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Put you down in memory hole. Now, I want to issue a challenge to all you right-wing conservative racists out there. Now, how in the hell are you ever going to use normal democratic methods to get around this? Now, you know you're never going to get around this by democratic methods because they can stop you at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
They can marginalize you. They can do all this kind of stuff to you. So you've only got one concept open to you in the future, and I know you don't want to hear it, and I know the feds and everybody's listening when I say it, but it's violence.
Well, I thought you were going to say cake parties.
It's cake parties. It's civil upheaval. It's civil war, man. If you're going to save your race sooner or later, you're going to have to admit to yourself that nothing is going to work except muscle.
Whoa.
You got that straight?
Goddamn right.
What does that mean?
Go to the gym.
How do you interpret that?
Go to the fucking gym.
Kick their ass, man. In fact, I challenge every so-called leader of the right-wing, conservatives, racists, and all those people out there, even a lot of the Nazis, tell me, I want you to explain to me in simple language how you're going to turn this around at this late date with other than violence or not using violence.
Tom, we get our message out to the people, and they wake up, and when they wake up, they will vote for the right candidates, and all will be well.
Like I said the other day to somebody, I said, every morning, millions of prisoners wake up in the prisons across the United States. Now, they know the truth.
Yeah.
They're in the goddamn prison. But does it make them free?
Don't set them free.
It don't set them free at all. So I'm telling you, boys and girls, all those people out there, I hear them all the time, especially the more conservative element. Well, we've got to join the third party. Or let's go out and put out 10,000 pieces of literature. Or let's write the government. Let's write the president. Let's boycott McDonald's. Come on, boys.
Or if we wear the right kind of clothes, if we wear these suits, And these nice dresses will attract the right kind of people.
Yeah, if we have meetings.
And then once we get millionaires, they will come in and they will donate money and then everything will be good.
And even these military officers and generals.
Yes, yeah, all we need is suits.
They're going to join us, and then what are they going to do?
They're going to join us and they're going to wear suits
what
and drink coffee and eat donuts.
But what are they going to do then afterward? I mean, so you get a general.
Well, eat donuts.
In other words, it's all based upon we're not going to have to get our hands dirty, but everybody knows we're going to have to get our hands not only dirty, but bloody.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, for all you yin-yangs out there that don't know how to interpret my speech, that doesn't mean running down to the nearest corner and jumping on the back of a Negro and beating his head in. This means collective warfare. This means going to the top, not to the bottom. And when something bad happens to the top, that's good for us, right?
Whoa.
When bad you're not going to commit yourself, huh? When bad things happen to transnational corporations, that's good for us. And when Bin Laden does bad things in other parts of the world, I could give a damn less.
That's true.
What does that... anything that weakens Washington is fine with me. Now, if you want to call that treason, make the best of it. Right?
Yeah, speaking of starting at the top, John Hinckley is up for a parole hearing today.
Well, good luck, Hinckley, but it's time for us to close out here.
Yes, we're getting long. We haven't done any phone calls today either.
Well, we'll do it on the next show. What are you going to say?
Fuck off and die. I mean, goodbye.
Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Goodbye.